Okay, yeah, the recording
is okay.
Yeah, you should be good to go.
We're good.
Thank you. Awesome. Welcome. And feel free to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us all about you and jump off.
I'm Dr. Curtis Levinson. I am the Chief Information Security Officer for a telecommunications firm called MetTel, based in New York. Although I work remotely from my home office, I have been in some form or another of cybersecurity, used to be called secure technology. It used to be extremely classified for over 30 years. So I've held every C-level job there is. A long, long time ago, I was a special forces instructor teaching field communication. When you see on television or movies people running around with headsets like I'm wearing, I was part of the group that designed that. I've worked for government, all branches, industry. I've been in private consulting practice in cybersecurity. There is a warrant out for my arrest in the People's Republic of China because I have spoken up in front of Congress and lots of organizations against Huawei, Huawei, and ZTE, which are Chinese technology firms owned by the Chinese People Liberation Army. So I'm obviously not going to China. I have probably seen every aspect of the cybersecurity business there is to see. So what would you like to talk about?
Well, we could start with any of those. I'd assume that this is your favorite job, the job that you're in now, or no?
Well, do you want to talk about the recent spate of ransomware attacks?
Absolutely.
Or there is a vulnerability in Microsoft. In the Microsoft print spooler that is an open door to attackers. Does anybody know what the leading... Oh, I see from... somebody said SolarWinds and something else, but it disappeared. Let's see if I can bring it up. SolarWinds and firmware supply chain. All right. Joseph, who's somewhere. SolarWinds, like several other large, popular software firms, has obviously been hacked, and the results have trickled down. As for the firmware supply chain, that is an element of technology I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
It's okay, somebody was not on mute. I took care of that. It's okay.
Oh. As for the firmware supply chain, That is actually where the United States is the most vulnerable, because virtually no chips are made in the U.S. If you take your PC apart, or take your phone apart, you'll find there are loads and loads and loads of chips, and they are labeled as to the country of manufacture. China, Malaysia, the Philippines, all kinds of places. Now, each chip, each piece of firmware, has up to millions of lines of code on it. There is virtually no way for us to scan every chip. And even if a chip out of a common brand of PC tests clean, you don't know about the next one. Is it every fifth one? Is it every nth one? A lot of malicious code is hid in firmware where the chips are made overseas. And as we've heard lately on the news, there is an extreme chip shortage. If you tried to buy a PC 6 months ago or 8 months ago, today it's probably 20% more expensive. So that is, you know, when you talk about supply chain security, that's an element of our supply chain that we cannot control. We are consumers. Intel, the chip maker, may be based in the U.S., but they've outsourced production to countries where the labor is cheaper, allegedly with Intel code, but nobody knows what's in there, and we do not have a way of scanning each chip in every device for each line of code in case there's a malicious one. I've got the message bar open next to my screen here. Does anybody know what the leading cause of cyber attack and particularly ransomware is? I don't know how you raise your hand with this thing.
Yeah, there's a feature for them to raise their hand. They can also post in the chat. Let's see.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what's the biggest weakness we have? We in America and a lot of the Western world have regarding ransomware. There have been so many ransomware attacks. There is a little town, I live in Maryland, not far from Washington, D.C. There is a little town which is offline completely. Everything due to ransomware. 911 call centers, which in telecommunications terms are called PSAPs, which I can't spell out for you, but they are targets of ransomware. Hospitals, the large parts of the government, our government, the U.S. government, state government, local government, have been hit by ransomware. Ah, Joe, you're right. Internal users and phishing or spear phishing. Don, social engineering and threat types. The worst thing anyone can do is click on the link in an email, even if it's from someone you know. And the rule of thumb is, if you get an odd-looking email, the most easily hacked address books are webmail, Gmail, Hotmail, any variety of Yahoo Mail. Those are the most easily hacked address books. I have an entire collection of fish notes. And what you want to look for are misspellings. If you take the mouse cursor and hover it over the link, it tells you, there's a little note about where that link really goes. And if you take your cursor and hover it over the name of the sender, it, I don't know if I can share my screen here, but I'll read one that I just got that was pretty silly. I have a note here from Amazon. It's to me at my email address, and it has the Amazon Prime logo. It says your order, your account, Amazon.in. It gives me an order number, but it's from reply@networksec24x.com. I hadn't ordered anything, but if I were to click on the order number, what it says is HTTP servers .online/index/php/campaigns/kq94vmst162e/track-url, and a whole bunch of, I'm not going to spell out the whole stuff, but it's obviously not an Amazon order number. And the note says, dear customer, not addressing me by name, thank you for your order. And then it says, we European symbol, European symbol, superscript TM. I think what they're trying to say is, we will send a confirmation when your order ships. Your estimated delivery date is indicated below. If you did not place the order, please contact immediately. Please contact immediately at a phone number with an 850 area code. For protection of your Amazon account. And what it's trying to say is, I just bought a 65-inch Ultra HD LED smart TV sold by James Carlo. Payment paid $1,128. Okay, with Amazon, I pay with my American Express card. So I hope to, I called Amex, and I have traveled very expensively, extensively, for the U.S. State Department and other folks.
You just got muted. You just became muted for some reason, Curtis. I don't know why that. Yeah, you're muted on the phone too, I guess. No, we can't hear you. Can you hear me? You're muted, Dr. Levinson. I'm not hearing you anymore. The phone got muted somehow too. I don't know what happened. Can you hear us? Can you hear me? Because I can't hear you anymore. I don't know what happened. No, I can't hear you. I'm not sure. What happened? We can't hear you on the phone. Do you want to dial back in? I don't know what changed. Oh, and the phone hung up. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to drop out and drop back in.
Yeah, that call's fine. Yeah, the phone number, I'll put it back in the chat. I don't know if you can still see it. Go. And for Shannon, I'm posting a link in here for the Slack channel, because it doesn't look like you're over there yet, Shannon. If you want to join us in Slack, there's a lot of your classmates and instructors that can reference your question. We have a lot of resources there, but we can circle back to that question too. I don't know if you were here at the very beginning, but Dr. Levinson has a pretty long history with different agencies and different functions. So he can definitely give you some advice about how to get started. Anyone else want to chime in while he's dialing back in? I see some cyber people here. Not naming names. Everybody's shy today.
I'm typing something up, don't worry.
Okay. Thanks, Donald. I know Ted was having a problem popping in and out. That's good, Marissa. Yeah. Yeah, I post a lot of stuff in Slack as far as free offerings, training. Certainly the competitions is a big deal, Shannon. We do NCL, which is coming up next month. You can register for that. It's definitely a way to get your feet wet. Did you get back in there? Dr. Levinson, I see you dialed in again, but it's muted. No, I can't hear you. No. I can read your lips. But I can't hear you. I'm not sure why. The phone looks muted as well as the computer, so it's odd that it would come in muted. We're not having a good time today. Nope, and I cannot unmute you. Yeah, Colin. I show that you're dialed in. The 301 number is dialed in, but it's muted.
Okay.
There you
I am muted. Now, yep. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. There you go.
Okay. Shannon sent a really good question. Oh, the Chase Manhattan one. They're warning me that my Chase account will be disabled if I don't click the link and verify my information. The problem with that is I don't have an account with Chase. So all of these phishing notes, but if you hover over the sender's name and over whatever it is they want you to do, you can see where it really goes. If you get, I receive emails all the time from personal friends who say, hey, I'm traveling overseas. Everything was stolen. Can you please wire me $1,000? And it's spam. Somebody's address book got hacked. Let me address Shannon's question because it's really interesting. She writes, I know this is a bit off topic. I'm a brand new cybersecurity student. My former background is retail and restaurant management. What would be your best advice for me being new to the sector? One is finish your degree. The second is there are entry-level certifications for all of the security certs. I am a CISSP, a Certified Information Security Professional. I have been one. My number is 4036, so I was one of the, and they didn't start at one, so I'm one of the very first. But they have a certification called the SSCP. You can buy the book at online, or if there are any bookstores anymore. It's true. And that book plus your classwork will help you pass the SSCP. And the certification will start to get you, will enable you to put together a resume and a LinkedIn page, and you make the LinkedIn page. Don says Comp TIA Security Plus is a good one. That's also a very entry-level cert. Michael Connell says SSCP, which I was just talking about. The organization, if you're looking at the chat bar Tina put up, about how to compare cybersecurity certifications, but the first thing is to complete your degree. While you are completing your degree, see if you can get an internship with a firm in cybersecurity. And one of the best places for internships would be Indeed or Monster or one of those places. So you've got the degree plus the internship plus the certification plus LinkedIn, and then you start to advertise yourself by making cybersecurity contacts on LinkedIn and communicate with them. And there's a lot of help out there. That it, and you build, I don't know how many of you are LinkedIn users, but you build a network of people, and LinkedIn also has groups, and join some of the LinkedIn cybersecurity groups and follow the dialogue back and forth and communicate with the group members, and that will give you Shannon says great advice, I'm already on LinkedIn, but join some of the LinkedIn security groups. And cybersecurity is such a broad topic that you can focus on the human element. If you have an IT engineering background, you can focus on firewalls and VPNs and encryption. And the SSCP will take you through all of those, but at a more introductory level. I wound up getting into this business absolutely by accident. I was working on my bachelor's at American University in Washington, D.C., a very long time ago. And I was doing a double major in international studies and econometrics. And my master's is from the London School of Economics, also in econometrics. But to get the degree, they had a choice. You either had to take two foreign language classes and score at a B or higher, or you could take what back then was called computer science, which was an IBM 360 mainframe where you punched cards and handed them in a window, and a day or two later you'd get your printout. I successfully failed French twice. So I took computer science to get even with my French teachers. I wound up working with NATO in Belgium through contacts I made in the U.S. Department of Defense, and I learned French anyway. So But one thing led to another. The IBM mainframe class led me to a job with a Washington Beltway consulting firm. This was long before the personal computer. And that led me into the Department of Defense doing secure computing. Still no PCs. The IBM PC came out somewhere around 1983, but what most organizations were using was a central processor hub with terminals attached to it. And I got sucked down the rabbit hole and kept going. So to make up for my lack of bachelor's degrees in anything to do with technology, econometrics happens using mainframe back then, using mainframes to do complex calculations. But to overcome my lack of my two bachelor's degrees being unrelated, I started focusing on certifications. And I took the CISSP exam with no studying, just wandered in and took it and passed, and then became a, if you look at my LinkedIn page, there's a whole raft of them. And then I got into business continuity planning, which is the opposite side of the cybersecurity coin. And I went from a certified, Tina writes, not typical results to pass the CISSP so easily. There were no study guides. And to pass the CISSP back then, you had to do binary, octal, and hexadecimal arithmetic. Add two octal numbers, so they had to be converted to decimal to get the answer and then converted back to octal. And somehow I passed anyway. But my path upwards was via certifications. And then when PCs became prevalent, I worked in a field that doesn't exist anymore called office automation. And that led to computer science and on and on and on. I wasn't much of an engineer. The last thing anybody wants me to do is touch boxes in a data center with blinky lights. You don't want that. And you don't want me programming your firewall rule set. A lot of people do want me to help develop corporate cybersecurity strategies about protecting networks externally, internally. And it just kept going. So the firm that I work with has external firewalls, but they have a large U.S. government contract, and even though their SQL SQL databases were encrypted with a government-approved algorithm of called AES 256. What we further did, I found a company called Illumio, and they enable you to place virtual micro-segmentation firewalls around specific items like a SQL database. So that provides another level of protection. Network segmentation. It used to be that backups involved tapes. First, they were the big real tapes, and then they began to look like 8-track, if anybody remembers 8-track cartridges for music players. And there was something called a storage area network or a tape area network with robotics inside that did backups, and it would insert a tape, and then it would take it out, it would drop down, insert another tape, and then a person from a storage facility, you know, you change tapes nightly.
The total pull kind of job, you know, when you're the little man, you got the one, stay here and change the tapes at the end of the day.
Right. And then the tapes were taken away for storage and they were reused. So the quality of the tape deteriorated over time. If you had a crash or an outage, you had to restore your system from the tapes, which necessarily weren't very current. Now, most organizations have alternate data centers. They mirror their disk drives. There are continuous backups, so the backups are no more than a few minutes or seconds out of sync.
Yeah, I bet there's a lot of people here that don't remember those times or were not around for those times when they came and told you, well, we just lost the last week of stuff. Just try to remember what you did last week reiterate all of that. We did a lot more that back then, though, so there was not nearly as many emails going on in a week that there is today, but even so, there was definitely information lost, and I got to redo the spreadsheets and redo the database, whatever it was, that last week that we lost.
Well, a long time ago, I was working at the National War College at the National Defense University in Washington, D.C., and I had the honor of being Admiral Grace Hopper's personal aide for a couple of weeks. She is the person who invented the mainframe programming language COBOL. She helped develop the first modern computer, the Harvard Mark IV. And she is the one that, Fort McNair. And she is the one who coined the term bug in a system because mainframes back then were rows and rows and rows of metal contacts. Open was zero, closed was one. And occasionally they sparked. Well, a moth got attracted to the spark, got hammered to bits. Grace Hopper removed the moth from the system, pasted it in her notebook, which is now in the Smithsonian, and wrote "First bug found in a system." Now, let's see here. Robert Jackson, going all of the way back to the beginning with the Microsoft print spooler problem, there was a patch. There was a new one released yesterday. And the government is going bonkers, checking all of their contractors to make sure that that patch gets installed. The cybersecurity standards the U.S. government uses are from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, and it's based on the NIST cybersecurity framework. And there are many, many, many documents in the SP Special Publications 800 series that the government follows, and the FIPS, Federal Information Processing Standards, that the government follows. The big document is NIST SP 800-53. It was revision 4. Revision 5 just came out. One of the government's answers to cybersecurity is to layer bureaucracy on, Tina's laughing, to layer bureaucracy on top. And there are two words. One is compliance, which is compliance with regulations. The other is security. Compliance is definitely, well, compliance could be security. Mostly, it's not. It's check the box. Do you have firewalls? Are they programmed this way or that way or the other way? Do you use multi-factor authentication and things like that? So the government is focused on compliance. True security can come from that, but a lot of organizations simply focus on complying with the regulations of the time. Let's see here.
Yeah, I just added the link. We definitely do address NIST in some courses throughout the cyber program, both grad and undergrad, so people have hopefully heard of that. Oh, Randy had a question about the scariest.
Yeah, what is the scariest cybersecurity threat, in my opinion? The answer is my mother-in-law, who uses a PC for Facebook and email at age 94, and she will click on anything. And I've spent hours and days trying to unsnarl her PC. to go back to Randy's question, the scariest cybersecurity threat is humans, is people. We are the weakest link. The part that is the part of cybersecurity which is not commonly addressed is training and education and documentation and manuals and regular drills. The human is the weak element. You know, nobody is giving you a free gift card. Amazon was not sending me a giant TV. I have another phishing email saying from cs@paypal.com, but if you hover your mouse, your cursor over that, it's actually from Joseph Patrick 19726 at gmail.com. And it says your payment alert today, which PayPal does not usually send. And it says, dear Curtis.Levinson, my name, you sent a payment of $499.99 to the Springfield Armory, which is a gun dealer. And I called Springfield Armory, and they said this has been happening to them for a month. They don't take PayPal. You can call Springfield Armory if you like what's in their catalog. They're a legitimate firm, but you would pay with a credit card. And always when you're online, pay with a credit card, not a debit card or an ATM card. That, if lost, gives access to your checking account or savings account or whatever. The credit card companies monitor for bad transactions that fall outside your normal pattern. For example, a couple of years ago, I made a trip to Bangkok, Thailand, to go to a wedding, a friend's wedding. I called American Express and said, from this date until that date, I am going to be in Bangkok, Thailand. Here's the name of the hotel I'm staying at. And I do not plan to buy anything over about $50. And they thanked me very much because otherwise going to Thailand is out of my normal pattern and Amex would cut me off. So I don't know how much time we have left, but are there any more questions?
Yeah, just 5 minutes here. Any other recommendations for early on preparations? You said, did you start with Security Plus or you started with SSCP and then went on to CISSP?
I started, I did not go for the Security Plus and then the Network Plus. Those were very low level certifications, but I started, there are many organizations that offer certs, many. There's the SANS Institute There is ISC squared. There are CNET. There are so many. I picked ISC squared. And for business continuity, I picked the Disaster Recovery Institute of DRI. And I actually got a sat for an exam recently from ISACA, if you want to go in, and it's a privacy cert. But ISACA has a whole load of certifications, mostly geared toward auditing, but not all of them. I recommend that you look at the vendors. Dr. Levinson, I've gotten text messages with links that I automatically know are not legit. Yeah, Robert, I collect them. I've got them from all over the world. So pick an organization and start with their entry-level cert. If you're interested in business continuity planning, disaster recovery, there's the ABCP. Cybersecurity, there's the SSCP. But it's not just the cert. It's a combination of the degree and internships, even if they're not paid, where you've acquired experience, and then the certs, and then a platform. I do not recommend Facebook. I think Facebook is one of the 10 things wrong with the world, but LinkedIn is a very good choice. There are some others, but I think LinkedIn is the dominant player. And it's a matter of building yourself up. Each building block should sit on top of the previous block. And by the way, don't click links on your cell phone. I was looking at Robert Jackson's note. Don't click links on your cell phone. I would say approximately 80% of cell phones have a bug on them that allows the camera and microphone to be turned on even if the phone itself is turned off. So that's a zillion little listening devices, which is why in the classified world, we have special rooms that have lockers outside and you lock your cell phone up and you don't take it in. So to wrap up, looking at the time, if something looks wrong, it probably is. Even if you know the sender, there's no harm in calling and saying, "Did you send me this?" And you know, be generally aware. There's a really good book. I don't know if it's still in print, but it's called Naked in Cyberspace. And hang on one sec. friend of mine wrote this book. It's available online. She's excellent. Shira Rubinoff. I highly recommend just reading it like a novel. So, where are we?
Yeah, we're at the top of the hour. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time tonight and some of the recommendations. I put the link for the Naked Cyberspace in the chat there. It is still on Amazon, so you can get it there. But I think
It's scary. It's scary. If you look at a room with 1,000 people, and I have, and said, who here values their privacy? All the hands go up. And then you say, who here has sacrificed their privacy for convenience? Hands are less likely. Right. Most of us do.
Yeah, pretty much any of them on Amazon.
please be aware. Yeah. And thank you very much for attending.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tina, for inviting me.
Appreciate it.
And I'll be glad to meet with everyone at a future point.
Yeah, and connect with you on LinkedIn, right?
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I will share the recording with you once it's processed. It'll turn into a podcast, and I will share that with you if you'd like to have that. But thanks, everyone, for attending. Very much appreciate it. The recording will be available, like I said, as a podcast. And also, it gets attached automatically to the invite if you have the invite on your calendar. But we very much appreciate your time tonight, Dr. Levinson. Appreciate it.
My pleasure to help. Thank you.
I hope everyone has a great evening. Thanks, all. Bye, guys.